فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. The end of everything. The end of absolute everything will happen one day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ حَالِقٌ. Everything will be destroyed. Everything will be perished. Everything will come to an end. إِلَّا وَجْهُ. Except for His face. There is coming a day. There is coming a day where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command Israfil, who was created with a single purpose. He will command him who has been waiting for a very long time to blow his trumpet. And when he blows his horn, everything that has ever been alive will be dead. Everything that has ever existed will stop existing. Everything that has always been temporary will come to its final end. And it will be the beginning of everlasting. This is the breaking point. Because everything that has ever existed, everything that is created now, is temporary. It's temporary. It was never meant for permanence. It was never meant. Life shows us this. Allah gives us many signs about the impermanence of life. One of them is simply death. We see many people coming and going. But Allah shows us through the changing of the seasons. Allah shows us through the growing of plants and the dying of plants, the growing of stars and the dying of stars, the growing of galaxies and the death of them, etc., so on and so forth, that nothing ever created was meant to be permanent. Nothing that was created is meant to be permanent, except for two creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those two creations that are meant to be permanent were Al-Jannah and Jahannam. Those two are permanent. And when that day comes, when Allah says everything will be destroyed, it will be the end of everything temporary. And after that day, the only thing that will be left will be permanence. And that permanence will only be in one of two positions. Now we look at ourselves in life, we find ourselves in many positions. You can find yourself in a good status in life, and that can change in bad status. You can find people in horrible status. And there's so many different stations in life we can find ourselves in. And we find that as we grow as well. We enter into different phases and stations in life. We start out as a baby. And if you live long enough, you'll end up in the same type of position when you get old. But the station after that day, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ حَالِقٌ إِلَّا وَجْهُ. After that day, the only two stations will be the people of Jannah and the people of Jahannam. And the people of Al-Jannah will only be those who believe in La ilaha illallah. That's it. There is no doubt in the mind of a Muslim whose aqidah is sound that there will be no people who will enter into Al-Jannah except for the people of La ilaha illallah. And I have been asked many times, this is a question that pops up a lot, what about the people who never heard about La ilaha illallah? What about the people who Islam never even was presented to them? You think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have knowledge of everything? You think when Allah says He is Al-Aleem, He does not know? He does not know if He brings that person in front of Him on the Day of Judgment and He knows exactly what they would have done if Islam was presented to them? Allah knows every, I've told you this, Allah knows every thread of every possible reality. He will show that person and know that if I had presented Islam to you, if someone had presented this Tawheed to you, you would have accepted it, so you're a person of Jannah, or you would have refused it, so you're a person of Jahannam. And how could anyone argue with the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His wisdom? That is the only permanence that will be after that day. The reason why I want to remind us of this temporary station of everything else that exists is that we have concepted in our minds and we live our lives as if the opposite is true. We live our lives as if this world is permanent, as if this life is permanent, it's everlasting, it's never going to end. We build our lives here like we will never leave them, and we treat the akhirah as if it is something that is temporary, something that is a maybe, something that is a possibility, something that might even be a fairy tale. I've had these conversations with people, with Muslims. When you treat this life as if it's permanent, as if it's everything, the end all and have all, it causes the problems we see in the world today. It causes the greed that we see in the world today. Fighting and killing each other over something that does not even belong to us. Something that we will never even truly possess. Never even truly possess. And we will find ourselves dealing with one another in the matter that we deal with one another. That is, if this is the end all, have all. This is temporary. How are we going to feel? How are we going to think? How is our position in our hearts and minds going to be on the day when the true realization comes to us that this was temporary and we look back at everything we've done? How much? There is a reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls the day of judgment Yawm al-Hasra, the day of regret. How much will we regret? Because there is going to come a point in every single one of our lives. When that will happen, no one knows. But there is going to become a point when the angel of death will present himself to you. You will take your last final look at this world. And as that last final look is being made, when the veil between this and the Akhirah, between this and the Barzakh begins to be lifted, because when the angel of death presents himself, that veil becomes lifted. The things that we can't see now, you start seeing them. You start seeing the angels. You start seeing all of these things. When you take that last look at your life, when you take your last look at your family, when you take a last look at the world that you've built around you, you will realize that none of it was worth it. Not a single bit of it was worth anything if it doesn't end in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it does not end with Allah saying that He is pleased with you, you'll realize it was worthless. You'll realize none of it mattered. You'll realize that the argument that I had with my brother was so stupid, so meaningless. The arguments I had with my children, the way I treated them, the way I treated my parents, the way I treated my siblings, the way I treated my brother or my sister in faith, the way I took this one's right, the way I spoke ill against this one, the way I backbit this one, all of it, you'll be like, it was worth nothing. It is such a shame and a waste, but it'll be too late. It'll be too late. Wise is the man who takes heed before it's too late. Wise is the man who takes lesson before the lesson is taken on him. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when talking about the value of this world that we fight so hard over and kill each other over and are willing to wreck relationships over and wreck people's lives over, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was once walking with his companions and he picked up a dead carcass of an animal, held it by his ear, and he said, which one of you would buy this from me for a dinar or a dirham? I can't remember which one was, but very cheap, like a penny. Which one of you would buy this from me for a dollar? They said, Ya Rasulullah, we wouldn't even take it from you if it was free. Even if you were offering it to us for free, none of us want to take this stinking thing home. He said, no, that this world and everything that is contained in it is more repulsive, more meaningless in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than this is in your eyes. That is the value of this world. It's nothing. Once the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting with his companions and he asked him a question. If you were here for Wednesday during our da'wah training session, you'll realize that questions were a sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in teaching, and they are a psychologically proven way to teach people things. He asked his companions, who is the faqir? Who's the bankrupt person? Who's the poor person? Who's a real poor person? They said, Ya Rasulullah, it's the person who has no money, right? That's the way we look at it. He's poor. He has no money. He said, no, that's not a poor person. He said, the bankrupt one, the real poor person, is the person who has amassed a great amount of good deeds in this life. They come before Allah on the day of judgment with a good deeds the size of a mountain. But because they took the right of another, because they backbit another, because they slandered this one, because they oppressed that one, they took that one's right, they did not honor the word of this one or that one, then Allah will begin to take away from their good deeds and give it to those whom they wronged until they run out of good deeds. And then the evil deeds of those who, if they have wronged, will be put on their backs and they'll be dragged into the fires of hell. That is bankruptcy. To live your whole life doing good, only to see it turn into dust on the day of judgment, or be given to others because you treated this world like it was permanent. You treated this like it was everything. There is a station on the day of judgment. We know about, and I've talked about the day of judgment in the past, but we know about when we're resurrected and Allah is destroying everything. He's starting all over, only Jannah and Nar after that. We know that our books will be given to us. We will get our deeds. After that, our deeds will be weighed, because it just doesn't matter about the amount sometimes, it's about the weight. Some people will have very little that will weigh very heavy. And you'll have some people who have a whole lot that will have very little weight to it. After the deeds are weighed, and the people of Al-Jannah, the people who are supposed to go to paradise, the people whom Allah has weighed them and found them that they are good, they will cross the Sirat. A bridge that is so thin, it's like a hair, and it's sharper than a sword. Some of us won't make it. There will be people who will be falling off. People will be getting dragged down to hell. Some of us will fly across like lightning. Some of us will crawl across. I don't care how I get across, but some of us will make it across. Then when we make it across, and we think everything, you know, we're good. No, it's not over. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls for the qantara. After that, Allah will call all of us together and say, now it's time to settle the affairs amongst yourselves. Those who wronged each other, those who harmed another, those who backbit another, those who owed another, those who did wrong to another, those who oppressed another. Now is when the deeds are really taken and the qantara happens. How many of us will be sitting there thinking, I wish I would have never even said that. I wish I would have never even done that. I wish I would have never even taken that. It wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it. We've made it this far. And now because of our problems, because of our silly egos and our silly thought processes and our silly worries of this world and things that don't matter, now we have to solve our affairs on this day. How silly will we all look? That's why I say, if you have a problem with your brother or sister, solve it, fix it, make it right. End it. Let it go for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have a problem with your family, fix it. Make it right. Make it right now. Don't want to stand in front of Allah on the day of judgment when you've gone through all that hardship and then try to find a way to make it right. Make it right now. If you've broken relationships and family, fix them. It's one of the best things to do is to fix and put back kinship and ties and bond relations. And to make peace amongst people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said is one of the greatest deeds you can do is to make peace amongst brothers or peace amongst sisters. We all want peace. We want to live in peace. The only way we're going to do that is to understand that this world is not permanent. That there's nothing here that's really meant for us. It's here for a reason, and that reason will come to an end. Take as much of it as you need. Help as many people as you can. Try to do harm to none. And when you do, forgive. And when they ask for forgiveness, forgive. Let it be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر لي ولكم فاستغفر الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Yes, please, everyone move up. We're running out of space, inshallah. I want you to think about it for the rest of the day. The end of everything. Because it is coming. It is coming. It is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that day is coming for us faster than we know it. The end of our everything will be the day we meet the angel of death. And after that, it's too late to fix anything. It's too late to fix anything. The biggest regrets will be the people of the Day of Judgment. They will have regret like no other regrets. Let us be a people who try to, insha'Allah ta'ala, fix our problems and our matters before they're fixed for us. Let us take account of our own lives and the lives of the people we interact with before Allah takes the account. Because that day is going to be a grievous day, and nothing will be permanent. Everything is temporary. Everything you see around you now is temporary, except for Jannah and Jahannam. And all of us want to go to Al-Jannah. That is what you should want for every single believer. I said this in a khutbah before. I don't care if they're your worst enemy. If they're a Muslim, you should still want paradise for them. You should still want al-Jannah for them. That is the way the believers are. I don't care how much wrong you've done to me. I don't care how much you've harmed me. Yes, I may want my justice. I may want it back, but I still would like you to go to paradise. If Allah gave me the option of forgiving or getting my justice, and it was up to that for you to go to Jannah or not, wallahi, I would want you to go to paradise. I would want you to go to Jannah. Nothing should ever harm us in that matter, that we should not wish paradise for even one another. I even tell couples, and I'm going to end with this, one of the hardest things that you find in the Muslim community is divorce. It happens. It's a permissibility. It is something that is not liked, but it is sometimes a necessity. There's a reason why it's halal. But I always, even in my couples counseling, when I've counseled couples through divorce, I tell them that no matter what's happened in your marriage, no matter what's going on, you have to remember at the end of the day, you both are Muslims. You both are Muslims. You married each other for the sake of Allah. You should divorce each other for the sake of Allah. That's okay. But remember, you are both Muslims. You should treat each other like a Muslim should treat one another and have love for one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be willing to let go of things for the sake of Allah. I know there's certain things that we can't let go of. But as Muslims, we should always want the best for each other. The best for each other. Because that is the true meaning of Iman. Barakallahu feek. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار رب اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على قوم الكافرين اللهم انصر إسلام المسلمين اللهم انصر وعز إسلام المسلمين في غزة يا رب العالمين وفي كل مكان يرحم الراحمين وأذرة شرك ومشركين سبحانك ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين